welcome to episode 3.
Welcome to episode 3. Wow.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Have you been?
I have been obsessing over a couple of things.
Oh.
Yep.
Tell me more.
I don't know how much you have interacted with the TikTok Groundhog Punxsutawney Phil musical.
I know very little about it. I think I've seen one TikTok about it.
Okay. Our TikTok feeds are very different because I have been obsessing. There is a man. I actually don't know his first name, but the TikTok, like his theme, Bob, his whatever, is Olive Songs 11. And I think that he put like a challenge on himself to record a song every day in 2024. And on, I'm not sure if it actually was on Groundhog Day or if it was after, he did one that was a song about Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, singing to his wife about him having taken an elixir to live forever. And his wife doesn't have that, so she will die eventually. And he posted that, and it has taken TikTok by storm. And people are doing like duets and adding to it. And this is one of my favorite things that happens on TikTok. It's happened once before with the Ratatouille musical.
Oh.
Yeah. During 2020, someone was like, wouldn't it be great if there was a Ratatouille musical? And then people started writing songs. And then people started putting choreography and all this stuff. And it actually got so big that they did it. And they got a whole bunch of singers and actors and stuff and did like a Zoom musical during the pandemic time. And so I've been obsessing over that.
Okay, cute.
Yes.
Do you think it's going to take over in the same way that Ratatouille did?
I hope so. There's some really beautiful songs. Like it's very Stephen Sondheim-y. And I don't know if I'd want a stage musical of it because when you like, they're gophers. I don't want to see. I mean, groundhogs. I'm so sorry. They're groundhogs. So I don't really want to see really like vibe. Big. I don't want to see that interpretation of a groundhog unless they're like just humans, you know. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
OK,
you should dive.
I might take a little div dive.
Yeah. It's
all right.
It's really awesome. Condon, you want to talk a little bit about what our show is going to look like today with the acts?
Yeah, of course. So act one, we're going to talk about movie musicals. We both have quite the, that's how we got introduced to musicals in general. So this is going to be really fun to kind of recap how we got there and some of our favorite movie musicals. And then to go into act two, we're going to talk about The Color Purple, the movie musical that recently came out. We both saw it. We bought it to watch at our homes. And so we both saw it separately. So it'll be really interesting to see.
Because we haven't talked about it very
much. We really haven't talked about it. So it'd be really interesting to hear like what we both saw and how we feel about The Color Purple in general. Also, Alice Walker, the author, I just wanted to say, because we were thinking about how we were going to do this episode, and Alice Walker, currently we are in February when we're recording this. It's February 11th.
Yep.
And Alice Walker's birthday is February 9th. So I just thought like she just turned 80 years old, and I was just like, that is so bomb that we are like,
yeah, it was meant to
talking.
Be.
Yeah. We just, it just, it we didn't even line be. It up. So yeah, that's going to be the show. And then our regular closing.
Yay.
So yeah.
All right. Let's just hop into it with movie musicals. I feel something that I was thinking about in this topic is that movie musicals, I think, are the most accessible way for people to get into musicals.
Yeah. Easily.
I think that most people, if they are talking about musicals, are talking about a movie musical, because not very many people go to live theater.
That's true.
In comparison.
I also feel like there is a sector of people who may not necessarily love a musical, but they can endure a movie musical.
Yes. And I feel like there's the opposite too. Like,
oh, really?
I know, like my fiance's mom hates a movie musical.
Interesting.
But if she goes and sees it live, it's like the best thing ever.
Huh, that's really fascinating. But yeah, it has very visceral reactions, mm-hmm. either or, you know. Some people, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty wavy, like I can do both and enjoy it. But there are attributes to different things. You know what I mean? It just shows up very differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think it depends on like whether, not always, but like if it was originally a movie musical, like that's where it starts.
Really,
or if it was originally a musical in of itself. And then got turned into a movie.
Yeah.
Because I think that I've interacted with the movie musicals that I have a little bit of a struggle with are the ones that are movie musicals that were written to be movie musicals and didn't have a musical beforehand.
Like what?
The Greatest Showman.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I have opinions about that one. And like La La Land. I don't have...
I can't with La La Land.
Necessarily my favorite. And I think it has to do with the fact that they were not musicals beforehand. They were written for the screen. I'm not a huge fan of the stories either, but like that's another thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of like growing up, movie musicals were like, I would say the majority of what we consumed.
Oh, yeah. Like if we're watching movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely that.
We watched a lot of classics.
A lot of the classics. And then I think that as time like moved forward, and then also like Disney.
Yeah, Disney.
Right. Like Disney just does that. But like we were like all up in the King and I and like.
Carousel.
Yeah.
The Seven Brides for Seven
State
Brothers.
Fair, as we all know.
Singing in the Rain. Yeah. Like all those golden age
Royal
musicals.
Wedding.
Ooh. I don't remember that one very. That one's not a musical, is it?
Why do I remember Fred Astaire tap dancing his life
away? I don't remember that one.
Come for me if you must, y'all. Come for me if you must.
What are some of the musicals, golden age or not, that when you think of our childhood, you can like picture it like playing over and over?
Oh, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, 100%.
Yeah. I love that musical.
I still, it's problematic. I'm aware.
Yes, we know.
We know.
We know.
And also,
I love it.
I love it.
Like, every once in a while, I'm like, why isn't that produced very often? And I'm like, it is in the Midwest, but.
That says everything.
It's produced in Idaho all the time. And like, I honestly, it is problematic that, like, for those of you who don't know, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is a musical that I believe was done in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. It's set in Oregon and it's about like mountain man who goes to the town and he goes to go find a wife, finds a wife, brings her back. He has seven brothers, didn't tell her that he lives with his seven brothers. And she kind of like puts them in tip top shape. They go back to the town altogether. The seven brothers find seven women and they're like, oh my God, we love them. And then they steal them from their houses and keep them for the winter.
Yeah. So
it's problematic. We know.
It's like after, isn't it? It's
the
song.
Sabine women or the
Sabine. Yeah, the Sabine
women.
It's from
like.
It's something.
I don't know.
Someone's going to tell
but
us.
But like,
in the
I've
comments.
Always like, I know it's problematic, but I would be in that musical. I will fight tooth and nail to be Dorcas.
I am literally like, there's just so many beautiful marriages, like not between the women and the men, but those are also beautiful.
Okay.
But beautiful marriages of art in that piece of work.
Yes.
I remember watching like the DVD we had all these like little extra things where they would like
special features. Talk,
yeah. And it was like these older people talking about going in and how they got casted and how they were like, you know, what rehearsals were like or like what they used to do in the past. You know, like one of the brothers couldn't dance. And so
he's
is notoriously
in
the back. And then they had acrobats who were able to also like kind of jump in and do some dance. And like, it's just like the choreography is beautiful. I am a sucker for a Homestead aesthetic. And like, I cannot handle the costuming.
Yeah, it was.
The costuming is just.
The checkerboard dresses.
I know.
To the gingham dresses and the quilt. Oh.
The quilt dress. I was just about to bring up Millie's quilt dress.
Oh my God. To this day, I'm just like, Can I have one, please?
I know.
I don't know what it is about me. For me, a musical that I think about all the time from our childhood that we just had on repeat, from Justin to Kelly.
Okay, y'all, don't come for us. It is some classic.
It's a classic, and I will go it. To my grave.
I will.
To my grave.
I don't even need to fight anyone because I know what it is in my heart.
In my
heart. You know
what
I'm saying?
It is
I think
good
we
musical.
Bought the DVD on a Walmart trip.
It was like $2.99 or something.
It was so cheap. And we probably watched it like 5 times
in a row.
Mm-hmm. Like literally, flip the CD over. Let's watch the director's cut. Flip the CD over.
I think you should bless the listeners' ears with explaining what From Justin to Kelly is, because it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay, so From Justin Kelly is this movie that basically follows Kelly. I don't think we get her last name.
But it's Kelly Clarkson.
Yes, it's Kelly Clarkson. So basically what it is the very first contract from
American Idol
had the winner and the next runner up do a movie musical. That was like in their contract.
Their contract. They could not get out of
it. They couldn't get out of it. So they just hitched right on up. And so basically Kelly lives in Texas and she has her little Texan girlfriends. And her two girlfriends are trying to go to spring break and she's like working at a bar. She's singing at a bar, you know, and they're like, come with us. And she's like, I don't want to. And and then they like convince her anyway. So they go on spring break in Miami.
I think it's somewhere in Florida.
Somewhere in Florida. Okay. Then there's also Justin Guarini, who is a party promoter in, like, I think he goes to some other school.
Yeah, they don't really.
They don't actually. Yeah, they don't explain the background. But he goes to some other school, but they are, him and his besties are notorious for throwing these, like, really wild, like,
spring break parties.
So, like, their paths cross. And they are just in a place. I'm like hearing the music.
I'm literally hearing that.
I'm like, I've been watching you a while. I really like your stuff.
That is one of the exceptions to it not having been a musical before. That I'm like, I don't care what you have
you
to say.
You can comfort me so hard. I don't know what it is, but this one, I love it.
It has me in a chokehold. It is
even the cut
so
songs.
Good. The dancing is so good.
I love
like,
it.
I'm like, how did they find two people to win American Idol?
We were living
who,
in Idaho.
Could sing. Well, of course they could sing, but yes, could dance
that
so
could
well.
Actually dance. Because not everybody that can sing can dance.
Nope.
No. Mm-mm. No.
And it was very good. Like, I'm pretty sure that it has less than 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I would be shocked if it has like any more than 10.
Yeah.
Everybody hated it.
People didn't
even make a musical like album.
This is one where we put the microphone up.
We
to
put
the
microphone.
And got a cassette recording of it. Yes, because
they never even made a cast album. And
no.
I don't know if I'll ever cross paths with Kelly Clarkson, and I know she's probably not proud of it, but I'm like, girl,
I think I've watched an interview where Justin Guarini went on her show where they were together or something. And they were talking about like, yeah, that was not it. But I'm like, you don't know how you touched my heart.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I love her.
And Justin Guarini, like, he's been on Broadway a few times too.
Oh, really?
So
good for
yeah,
him.
Since. And so I'm like, don't say that didn't help you get in.
No,
the,
that's true. We all saw your kickball change.
Another musical that another type of movie musicals that we used to watch a lot that we haven't talked about in years is that we used to watch a lot of Bollywood musicals.
Oh my God. Yes.
I don't remember a good Bollywood movie.
I
how it started because our dad traveled for work a lot. And at one
time
he
just
was
brought
going
home a
somewhere
DVD.
And there was like a like store that he was going to that had Bollywood movies and he would bring them home.
He's the type that's just kind of like, I don't know, I just figured we'd try it out.
And we were obsessed.
Like, I constantly. I constantly, like, still think, Kahuna Pyara Hai.
Kahuna Pyara Hai. I know. And then, like,
Krishna.
Koi Mil Gaya.
Koi Mil Gaya.
That one.
Show cold. We gotta do a movie. Let's do a Bollywood episode.
I would love to. We'll I need to rewatch get all of them. Else but in here. A lot of Bollywood movies are musicals. Like the majority that I've interacted with and that I've seen are There's musicals.
Also the Pride and Prejudice.
Oh my God.
The Pride and Prejudice.
Oh my gosh. It's so good.
There's something about, I think that was a cool intro too. Like I think dad was like, oh, you guys like this? Let's watch an actual Bollywood movie.
Yeah.
And then we were like hooked.
Yeah. I love a Bollywood musical. And that like, I feel like that really showed me that like, for a long time, I thought that musicals were like a white American thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that really helped me see that like, oh no, like this is like a global thing. Like people love, well, not everyone loves musicals, but like people enjoy musicals.
There's a whole other lane for musicals that isn't also this like, I don't know, white Christmas of it all.
Yeah. I still love White Christmas.
Which I'm not knocking because I don't know what it is about that era and like the home study or like, and the productions of it all. It's the lights, the camera, action.
Well,
the golden.
Like, I was watching a documentary on HBO a couple years, last year. And it was just talking about like how, like the institution of musical theaters, like they had like, they'd hire people on and then they'd be a part of the company. And they like, that's why you see people over and over.
It's what Netflix is trying to do now.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But okay. Like, it was such a thing. And like the majority of the like movies of that time were movie musicals. Like that's what you went and saw. It was the movie musical. And I'm like, I don't know the history, but I'm really curious as to like, when did that change? Because I feel like that like 40s, 50s era, it's like there's the movie musical of it all. But then it's like 60s, there's a few.
I think more like, especially when you watch like a 60s or 70s movie, there'd be like the like jazz break, you know, where it's like we're in a hotel room in the middle of the movie and there's a.
What movie are you talking about? Because I know what you're talking about, but I'm like, what? I don't know what movie that is.
Like that happened in, Cactus Flower.
I don't remember that movie very well, but yes.
We own it. So let's watch it.
We should watch it. We've already talked about how Rent was and Dreamgirls Cinderella.
There's also something about us being, we loved a good singing dramatic moment. Our family in general is a dramatic family, I think.
It's cultural.
It's Congolese. Because when we go to Congo, it's like, we're the quiet ones.
Which for those of y'all who know us is a word.
It's a unique thing.
Yeah.
I think that musicals also were this like really fun thing. Like they were such a fun, imaginative, like, you know, to be in your like young adolescence or your late adolescence and to be like, you know, I constantly remember it be like, it's my turn to fold the laundry or something. And I'd be like, come away, you know, with a ram tamma jammy. You can just make your own musical. Like it just took off. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like we were constantly finding ways to like sing these like long form ways of expressing our.
I mean, self. I still do to this day.
I mean, same, obviously.
Yes.
Everybody knows I love a good fake tap dance. I never went to the classes.
Mm-hmm. I do know.
Why are you acting like you don't be tap dancing with me?
LOL. Anyway, have you seen any movie musicals besides The Color Purple, obviously, recently? That you've enjoyed, like recent releases?
No.
Because.
No. I don't think so.
That's partially because there haven't been a lot. Like, no, I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, there's West Side Story, which I really
loved. That was beautiful. Honestly, they killed that.
I loved it. There's In the Heights, which I
did not see
really
it.
Love. Did I? It's on HBO. You can watch it.
It's
really good.
No, I
really,
have seen
really
it.
Good. And then, like, I feel like, I don't know if this would be considered a movie musical, so I apologize if I'm going off, like, the topic a little bit. But then, like, for a while, the live TV musical was really popular.
Yeah, it was, like, a different thing.
I feel like it's kind of a different thing, but it's not necessarily a stage musical. It's not necessarily a movie musical. So I'm putting them together and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember, I think the first one was The Sound of Music that I remember.
I don't think I saw that
Carrie
one.
Underwood.
What?
And I was really upset because
was it bad?
Like, no, it
Carrie
wasn't.
Carrie can sing.
It wasn't bad. But I think my favorite, I have two favorite ones.
Okay.
That came up. My favorite of all time was Hairspray.
They killed the Hairspray one. They really actually did kill the Hairspray.
All the time.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
I need to rewatch it. I enjoyed it.
And then the other one that I really loved was The Wiz.
I don't think I saw The Wiz.
It was really good.
Interesting. Wait, did I see The Wiz? No, I didn't see The Wiz.
Yeah, The Wiz Live was really good.
Because that had Neo in it, yeah?
I believe so, yes. Well, there was Peter Pan Live, which I'm still like, we shouldn't have done that. The headdress of it all, and the Native American of it all, no. And then there was Annie, which
The Annie one was actually really good.
I watched that one while I was dating my fiance, and he had never interacted with Annie before.
Wow.
And he got like a free trial to something. So then I would be able to watch it because I was sad, and he just showed up and he bought a free trial to something so we could watch it. And then he was like crying. And I was like, I told you, Annie's magical. This is why I'm going to be Annie someday. And they did Grease Live.
Yeah. I remember the Grease Live.
Pretty good.
I thought it was
really
pretty
liked
good.
That one.
I actually really like Grease. Did
Me
that
too.
Start as a movie?
I believe that Grease was a movie first, I think.
That's another good one.
I
That's
really
a good
like
one.
Grease.
That
I mean, problematic.
At this point, aren't they all in?
I think it's a spectrum, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say that some musicals are less problematic than others, and some are way more problematic than others.
And then it's a grandchild High School Musical.
Yeah. Which do you remember when High School Musical came out?
It took everyone
by
storm.
I remember like we were like going to church at the time, and I just literally have this vision in my head or memory of like walking down the hallway and like five different people walking down the hallway being like, we're soaring, flying. And I'm just like, oh my God. And we didn't have Disney at that time.
No, we didn't.
And so everyone was talking about it, but we didn't know. And I was having the worst FOMO. I was like, let me in.
I don't know what you are talking about. We watched the premiere when it premiered.
No,
because I was in high school at the time, and I was able to sing it come Monday.
I think we missed the original showing or something.
I don't think we did.
Because I remember I have it in my deepest soul.
Well, your deepest soul is incorrect.
I remember talking to Timmy, my
Who
friend Timmy.
I don't be knowing Timmy.
And he was like, you've got to see it. You can come over to my house. You can do this. You can do that.
No, because I remember that what happened was Disney Channel literally put it on and put it, they put it on and then they put the lyrical version on right after. And then they put on the regular version, then the lyrical version for a solid 24 hours.
I just think we're gonna have to agree to disagree because I don't remember.
I was not out of the thing. See, okay, Ado, our producer, is trying to chime in. Can you say what it was?
Hello, everyone. Producer Ado here. We did not have Disney Channel when High School Musical 1 came out in 2006, but we did have it when High School Musical 2 came out because we got Disney Channel in 2007. That was what I said.
Yes, 100%. High School Musical 1, we didn't get to see live because we didn't have Disney. And everything that you are saying matches for the second one.
It's funny because I didn't know anything about this. Like, I still couldn't sing to you most of the songs from the second.
Wow, the second one is
a bop. No, the second one was like not. Like, I viscerally, first off, what year did it come out?
High School Musical? 2006.
Edo said that the first one came out in 2006.
We didn't have cable. We got cable in 2008. I remember that for sure.
How
do you remember?
Edo said that late 2007.
Why are we knowing the exact dates of us getting cable television?
It was a monumental thing. So first off, y'all, so that then you all know, when I was 4 years old, our parents sat me down before Gabby was born.
What?
And they said, so we're not going to do cable anymore. I think it was for financial reasons. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's okay. I'll just watch Disney Channel. And they said, no, we won't have Disney Channel. And I said, that's totally fine. I'll just watch Nickelodeon. They were like, we won't have Nickelodeon either. And I was like, okay, so I'll just watch Cartoon Network. It's going to be fine. And they were like, no. And that's when I became a PBS kid.
PBS.
But then, like, we did not have cable until apparently 2007.
Yeah.
I don't know how I saw High School Musical because
I think you went to a party.
I might have gone to a party.
Speaking of PBS, another thing that makes musicals pretty accessible that shows on television, so it's not necessarily a movie musical, but the great performances recordings.
They know how to do it.
Carousel, there's Company. There's what's that one? You gotta wash that man right out of my hair.
Oh, that's South Pacific.
South Pacific, which is problematic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, movie musicals are really, really important to our upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially the whole like not having cable of it all. Yeah. You know, like there were limited things. We would just fall right into something. You know, into rabbit holes that were really, really specific because they weren't necessarily influenced by like, oh, I watched this thing on TV. Like it would just be like, dad brought home this DVD and now we're obsessed. You know, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling like I want to talk about The Color Purple.
Yeah, I'm down.
So act two, The Color Purple.
Act two, The Color Purple.
So The Color Purple,
musical. I have my notes.
I know. I'm like, I'm getting my notes up.
I know.
Just came out. I don't remember exactly when, but in 2023 for sure.
Yeah.
Recently, like December. And I didn't actually see a lot of publicity for it, which I'm like,
yeah, me,
what?
Me neither.
I feel like the only way that I knew about it was because I'm obsessed.
You're in the musical sphere. Well, and that's the thing. They didn't really advertise it as a musical. They did that with Mean Girls. Yeah. They did that with
the Charlie and the Wonka. Chocolate Factory. It wasn't necessarily promoted as a musical, which we can have our opinions
honestly,
about that, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. The most side note thing of the whole world, when we first started talking about this episode, we were going to see all of the movie musicals that were in theaters. And then it just, we were so unenthused about Wonka. But then yesterday, I found out that it was the Timothée Chalamet that's in it. And I like Timothée. So maybe I'll watch Wonka.
I knew that it was Timothée Chalamet this whole time.
I had no idea. I love me some Timothée.
You can go see it. And then if I should go see it, I can go see it.
Yeah, but we'll see.
I don't want to.
I can also wait to see him in Dune too. If you know, you know.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, the story of The Color Purple was a book first.
It was.
Written by Alice Walker, like Kanda had mentioned earlier. And if you're unfamiliar with the story, it's about like it's a story that spans over 40 years where you follow Celie, a Black woman who lives in the South in like the early 1900s and like all of the hardships that she goes through in her life with the people around her. And you get to follow those people as well. Like very, very short synopsis of that.
Yeah, you really did that.
Yeah,
you really did that.
I had to think about it for a while.
You really did that.
So the book came out in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
the movie that wasn't a musical that starred Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah, Danny Glover, Lawrence Fishburne, came out in 1985, which I didn't realize. Quick turnaround.
That's an insanely quick turnaround for how beautifully done, like, to the book that movie is.
I agree.
And it's obviously spanned the test of quite some time because here we are.
Yeah, here we are. The workshop of the musical, which is like when they are writing the musical and they hire actors and like try things out, but they're workshopping it, it changes, was from 2004 to 2005 with LaShawn's as Celie. And LaShawn's is like,
I don't know who that being.
She's
me writing
Black
her down
excellence
for later
in theater. She's great. Okay. And then it moved to Broadway in 2005, produced by Oprah. LaShawn's was still Celie, Brian Victor Dixon as Harpo, Renee Elise Goldsberry as Nettie, which is wild because Renee Elise Goldsberry was in the movie musical of the recording, the stage recording, but the DVD version of Rent. She was Mimi.
And she also was
the original.
You're talking about that original, the staged recording that they let out.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But
I knew
that you would know that from her from that.
Yeah.
But what she's known for more recently is she's Angelica in Hamilton, original Broadway.
That makes sense.
I was like, oh my God, I wish I could have seen her Nettie because that would have been really good. And Nettie is Celie's sister.
Sister.
And then there's been many tours. Many tours.
I imagine.
But Fantasia Barrino joined when it went on tour. And she's the person who plays Celie in the movie. So she's been with the story of The Color Purple for a very, very long time.
You can feel that too.
Yes, you can.
Like she's extremely like Celie.
Yes.
You can feel it.
You can feel that she's been with that character for a long time. Yeah. In 2013, there was a West End production in London.
Yes,
that's when Cynthia Erivo, Queen Cynthia Erivo joined. That came to Broadway and came with a Broadway revival. Cynthia Erivo in, I believe, 2015 or 16. That's when Cynthia Erivo was Celie. Jennifer Hudson as Shug Avery. Danielle Brooks, who played Sophia in the movie. She was in there. And then she played Sophia in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's a little bit of a history.
That's cool.
I loved this movie.
I honestly, like, I really do love this movie. I think that I love so many aspects of this story in general. We were really, really lucky to be able to see it. I don't remember what year.
The movie?
No, we saw it on stage at Portland Center Stage.
Yeah, I want to say 2018 or 19.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, we got to see the stage production and that was gorgeous.
It was sickening.
That's one of my favorite things I've seen at Portland Center Stage.
Honestly, and I think there's something about hearing those songs in a group of people. Like, it's like when we were talking to Charles, like, you know, the audience is the third member.
Yeah.
And that, like, that one just really just...
Yeah.
It takes you there. I thought that the movie was actually really entertaining and really beautiful.
I loved it. I feel like we always point this out with everything that we go to, but the dancing in this movie was...
That choreo?
It was
that
so
choreo
good.
Was
I do
sickening.
Not know who choreographed, but I need to look it
no,
up.
No, I should have looked it up.
It was
so cool.
Pivotal.
It was honestly...
To the storytelling.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't remember the choreo very much from the stage play, and I should probably watch. There's so many resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to do a deep dive. But, like, there was such a cool mix of, like, West African movements, like, hip-hop movements, and ragtime, like, that, like, classic jazz. A one, two, clap, clap. You know, and I just thought it was such a beautiful mixture. Like I found myself being like, okay.
Something that you said that made me think about is that I have interacted with The Color Purple musical for many years. I really jumped into it when Cynthia Erivo came to it because she's one of my favorite stage actresses.
That's really where it
and
took everybody by storm.
I don't think that I have considered The Color Purple a dance musical before. Like it's a musical that has dancing. Mm-hmm. But it's not a dance musical. Mm-hmm. And then I watched this and I was like, oh, it's
they
a dance
be
musical.
Dancing.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote several times while watching that the choreo just kept on really reinforcing layers and layers. Like, even just like, you know, Sophia's goodbye to Harpo and they're all, Like that movement, like it's just the choreo of it all. Yeah. Like,
and we don't want to give too many spoilers because there are people who might not have seen it, which That's you true. Should go see it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really appreciated some of the nods that they had to the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think these are spoilers, but please let me know if they are. But like, a character, a very, very small character that interacts with Celie in one of the first episodes or one of the first scenes that we see Celie in is Whoopi Goldberg, who played Celie in the movie.
Yeah.
And I thought that I was like, not the Whoopi.
I know. It was really,
it was like,
she made
a
little cameo and that
she
was
made a cameo
really
and
pretty.
It just really like, or like in the last scene, or not the, yeah, like the last setting. So So in the last scene, there are two little girls very like on the side, on the side. And they're doing like this little like hand clap.
Oh, that's really pivotal in the beginning with the sisters.
Yeah, and
I
it's
didn't
really,
notice that.
Yeah. And it's really pivotal, especially in the movie too, with the sisters. Cause that happens. That's how they recognize each other as adults also like later. And I was like, okay, I see. Like I was like, they're just really beautiful nods. And I'm sure there were like a million other, you know, but I just thought that like, it was a really classy way to like incorporate like nostalgia with new things, especially for people who may not have known the musical.
Yeah.
You know, like there was just like a beautiful mix of so many beautiful things. And also it highlighted so many other things like the dance or the costuming.
Yeah, the costuming was really, really great. There were a couple outfits that I was just like, oh my God. And I think that like oftentimes, you don't get to see costuming of Black folks in this way very often.
No.
And so it was really, really cool to see like that early, like 1900s, authentically Black, but not slave or enslaved, folk. It was just really kind of nice. And I don't know how accurate it was, but I don't care.
Literally I'm like, sign me up.
I don't care. It was really, really beautiful to just see. To see that. I thought that Halle Berry did an amazing Halle Bailey did a really,
like,
really good job as Celie's sister Nettie.
I agree.
And I
feel the youngers were so great and they were a great transition.
The person that they chose for young Celie, who then like became Fantasia, older Celie. I did not like, they looked similar to me. I was like, they did a very good job.
They did a wonderful job.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
They did a wonderful job. And she had like charisma, a great voice. Like it was like a really, really great situation.
Yeah.
Was older Nettie Ciara?
Yes.
Okay, boo.
Yes.
I was like, I know this lady.
Yeah, she was. Okay. And so it was really, really cool to be able
Ciara.
To see that. Something that I was really excited about was seeing Danielle Brooks reprise her role as Sophia, because I think that Danielle Brooks is the only one from the revival that I followed throughout the revival and saw her stuff there. Got to see her audition for or her audition tapes after the fact for the movie. And then like see her get it and then see there, because she's grown so much in this role as a performer. And it's just been really, really beautiful to watch. And
that's
so
really cool.
I think also having watched her in Orange is the New Black, it was just really cool.
We've seen her whole art.
Like be able to see like her grow in so many different spaces. Mm-hmm. That was really, really wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. I feel like the musical... So there's like a thing that happens, I think, in the movie is like very true. Like, I don't know. I haven't read the book, but I imagine that the book is the most gritty version of this.
I would agree.
Right?
Yes.
And then the second gritty is the movie. And so I almost feel like in some ways, like if you wanted to intro someone who is maybe more sensitive to racial.
Well, like this movie... I feel like not only has like racial tension, but like I like prior to, because my fiance Brandon, I watched it with him. He had never interacted with the story before. And like, as the credits, the beginning credits are going, I was like, do you need a trigger warning? Are there any things that you usually do? Because there's a lot of abuse.
There's a
in and like harm and towards like, people that happens in this, and many different like physical, sexual, emotional. And so like, it's a really heavy
story. It's a heavy story that, and as a musical, it also has like extremely light moments. Mm-hmm. I think that the movie sometimes feels like really heavy for super long and then has like a light levity, but it's not as levity as the musical, mm-hmm. I think. And that's what I wanted to point out is that like, I think that the musical is a really great intro to the story for people who are like, I want to know what happens in the story, but I'm not trying to be like, oh my God, Oprah, you're really in a place.
Yeah. Yeah. Oprah, you know Sophia. What I'm saying?
Oprah like Sophia Oprah Sophia was like.
Yeah, it was really, really intense. Something that I was thinking about while watching this movie is that there's a few stories that you get the opportunity to interact with it in different mediums. Mm. And so what I mean by that is like, for example, very, very different play, but just for the example, is this play that I saw actually at Portland Center Stage called Tiny Beautiful Things.
Okay.
And it is based off of the book Tiny Beautiful Things that was written by Cheryl Strayed.
Okay, yeah.
And the book was written based off of a blog post because like she had a blog that was like Dear Sugar. Okay. And she was responding to people. They would say like, Dear Sugar, I'm having this thing in my life.
Oh, I think
and
I so read there was this. A blog.
So this, I read this book. Story has a blog. It has a movie or a TV show. It has a play. Mm. It has a podcast. Mm. And it has, I think it's those. So like four different ways that you can interact with this story. And I've interacted with the story in all of the ways. Mm-hmm. And in different mediums, the story has different weight to me. And so it was really interesting because with this, you have the book, you have the movie, you have the musical. And then I think I would also add, like, you have the music from the musical by itself.
Well, I honestly would break up the musical in multiple parts, too.
What do you mean?
Because I think that now you have the movie musical, you've got you've got the stage musical, and you've got the made-for-TV.
The made-for-TV musical?
Did that not happen?
Of Color Purple? There's not a made-for-TV musical. I haven't seen it.
My condolences.
Yeah, I got excited. I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm so sorry. I really thought that there was one on NBC.
No, they haven't done the Color Purple. So there's music. I mean, there's a musical. There's the musical that just came out, the TV musical, the book, the movie. So four different ways. And I like saying the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And I've interacted with all of them. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite is the musical.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think different things have different weight to me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that I have. I think that the musical is the easiest, is not the easiest, but I think it's the most connectivity, in my opinion. I think that I absolutely love the movie, the classic movie.
Yeah.
And you will leave it like, oh, for sure, for sure. And it's really interesting. Like, I did not realize that the turnaround between the book and the movie was so close. Mm-hmm. And so I like am really interested because I was watching some interviews with Alice Walker, especially after she wrote the book. And there was this one interview where the interviewee was like, are you afraid of, you know, the pushback of having abusers, you know, depicted in this way? And she's like, I'm a Black woman and I tell Black women's stories. Mm. And if you're getting offended by an abuser being portrayed, that is something that you need to look in for, like, into yourself.
Wow.
Right? Like, and I'm like, to say that in the 80s is like,
huh?
To say that in the 80s?
Oh.
I mean, it's different because we also had like a different world on telly and stuff.
Yeah.
So different things were being said in different ways, you know? But like, I just really admire the depth that all of these mediums have in expressing Black women and liberation, you know? Like, Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I just think it's a really beautiful thing.
There's a song in the musical, and I'm not going to go into it too much because I don't want to give too many spoilers. But there's a song that I always forget about because I don't think it's that moment in the movie is not as prevalent. That just exemplifies like joy to me. And it's the Miss Seeley's Pants.
Oh, I know.
I just like. I think that what the musical does for me is that it allows you to see the joy a little bit more.
I agree.
Than the other two. Like you were saying, like they're heavy, but I think that once you get later in Seeley's life, she does have some moments of joy.
And she has community.
And I don't think that for me personally, granted, I haven't watched the movie in a long time and it's been a while that I've read the book. I just think that joy is shown in a little bit and it adds a little bit more complexity to the story for me.
I agree. I absolutely
agree. I love them all. I definitely want to reread the book and rewatch the movie after this because I think that this story, I didn't realize how important the story was for me until I was watching it and I was just like, ugh. And that final song, If you haven't interacted with this musical, it's long. It's like two hours and 20 minutes long.
That's musicals.
But just the last moments of this musical tear me up every single
Honestly,
time.
Like the journey is worth it.
Yes.
It's one of those where you're like, oh, that journey was worth it. That journey was super worth it. And I think that like, I don't know. I really love a musical that spans time.
Yeah.
Musically too. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, you know, what Seeley sang about when she was younger versus what she sings about when she fully embodies herself, like, is just like, it's so relatable. And I think that it's just like, there's not a lot of stories. There are now, I think, but it's like by the grace of Alice Walker, do we have stories that span like hardship that Black women experience and also victory out of that, and not in this like a you had to be a strong way, but it's like sometimes life be that way, in a beautiful way, and I thought that was really beautiful.
I loved it. It definitely is one of my favorite movie musicals that I've seen in a really long time.
And
I'm pretty sure I'm about to get thrown into an obsession because as I was looking, there has definitely been productions in Brazil, in Germany, in all these places. And so I'm like, I'm going to go watch The Color Purple I'm going to watch it in Portuguese.
Yes.
I'm going to do this. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. I think also, like, you know, we were talking in the last episode about, like, an all-Black cast.
Yeah.
And not only is it an all Black cast, but it is with a like woman lead.
Yeah.
And it's strong woman lead and strong supporting
all of
women.
The people
and like
that
all it, like
have
it's anyone that matters.
All of the people that are out in the forefront who like sing and have that piece are all women.
Yeah.
Black women.
Yeah.
And that sings. I think that I like seeing this. Having got the opportunity to see the stage musical live, I just remember feeling that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just being able to see, like, oh, my gosh, I am watching a play with people that look like me getting the limelight, and it was written that way.
It was written, the book was written that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, there's something so beautiful about Black liberation based on their own definitions. Mm-hmm. Like, I just...
Yeah. Like, in our last episode, we were talking about, like, casting people in roles that weren't written to be, like, BIPOC, but, like, it's like, you know what? We're just going to do that. And I love when that happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's not great, but it really does feel different when you are playing a character that was written to look like you. And it just feels different, especially if the person who wrote it looked like you. You can just feel the authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changes. And so I'm like, I don't know if this musical is on my list of like, I'd want to be in the ensemble if I were in this musical.
Oh, yeah,
I think
like to be
I don't think that I have a Celie and I'm too old to play Nettie. But I
unless
just
you're
think,
old, Nettie,
I just think that it would be really interesting to be in the space mm-hmm. for this musical.
Yeah. I mean, Sophia is.
Oh, my God.
A vibe.
Yeah. Really, really great.
Sophia's really awesome.
Some great roles.
Honestly, Shug Avery. I'm like.
Yeah. There's some really great pivotal roles. And I hope that it gets produced more in Portland.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it was done fairly recently, but
yeah, it traveled here.
I will go.
Yeah,
I will go wherever I can to go see it again.
I think it's a really beautiful
it's a really
story.
Good one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think we should end there.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. As we always like to say, as marginalized folks, we don't often get to be in the room when it comes to theater, but we want to let you know that you belong in this room. And this is a room that is with us in mind, created with us in mind. So
it's FUBU, baby. For us, by us.
Oh my gosh. I did not know what that meant. And I was like, what did you just say?
FUBU.
Oh my gosh. And with that, we hope to see you next time in the theater.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for watching and listening to A Mid-Portland Night Scene.
Thank you so much to our producer, our brother, Ado, and to the Numbers FM for giving us the space.
You can find us on social media at A Mid-Portland Night Scene Pod on Instagram.
Do you have a topic you'd like for us to talk about? DM us. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk about your topic.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you at the next show.
See ya.